One more week if you want to try to say Proverbs chapter 3 verses 1 through 26 for memory, encouraging you to try to memorize. It's just a blessing to memorize not just verses of Scripture, but chapters of Scripture. Brother Roloff, back when I was first saved, listening to him on the radio, encouraged me in my Christian walk to memorize chapters or at least sections or paragraphs of Scripture more than just a verse here and there. It's amazing how much more that helps in your walk with Him. Let's tonight read Proverbs chapter number 3, verses number 1 through 26. And I tell you what, we don't do this a lot. Let's read it responsively. In fact, some of you might know, what does that mean? I'll read one verse and then everybody reads the verse. So I'll read all the odd verses just because I'm odd. And you can read all the even verses because you're even. All right. Let's stand, if you will, in respect of the Word of God. We're going to read Proverbs 3 from verse 1 down through verse number 26. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Excuse me. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down with dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall thy soul about thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked, for when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Amen. You can have a seat if you will, and encourage you to work again and memorizing that. And our memory verse last week was verse number 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For this week, our nugget, as we called it, we're getting nuggets for your crown. You just memorize this one verse to get another nugget on your crown over there in the corner. It's verse number 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And that's not talking about during the church service, all right? Verse number 24. Let me say this. I chose that song on purpose tonight that we sang, How Great Thou Art. There's much that could be said, and I could say much, about spending time outdoors. I spend a lot of time reading and studying outdoors today. And you know, there's another blessing of having, because of my eyes and things, I can, especially now, I need to get another cataract taken care of. It's getting real hard to read paper books, so I like reading electronic things. And another advantage of reading electronic things outside, the wind doesn't blow pages. That's kind of would be a frustrating thing today, wouldn't it? This book that we hold in our lap, the Bible, is not just, of course, first and foremost, it's a love letter from God. But picture it this way, it's our textbook on how to live the Christian life. Church is our classroom. And outdoors, under God's creation, is our laboratory, where we put things into practice and see how things work. And meeting others, of course. There's a book that I highly recommend to young families, especially, talks about many other things that have been written about the dangers of in history. We call it the dangers of urbanization. And you can see it in America today. The liberal votes of any election usually come from what parts of the country? The big cities. People think different in a big city than they do out in the country. And there's a lot of things in history that have proven when a society goes into urbanization, when they live, seems like the first place was Babel. And they said, let's build us a tower to reach to God. We don't need God anymore. There's that mentality that always is a part of that. And I'm glad that I grew up in the country. In fact, I was thinking when I was a kid, I share this with folks, I grew up in a small town, and wrestling was the sport that I did best just because I was such a little runt in high school. Football didn't work too well when the ball's almost as big as me, but I did okay there. But we had a good wrestling program in the school that I went to. Being a little hick town, and we're close to Rockford, none of the Rockford schools wanted to wrestle us little farm boys, because we smoked them all the time. We were just a little tiny hick school, and they're these big, big schools, and they said they wouldn't schedule us to wrestle against them because these farm boys are a little different, and we can't handle them. I like to be outdoors. In fact, if you got kids, I like to see when I go visit a house with kids and when your yards look like they have kids that live in them. In other words, I think when our kids were young, it took a long time after they left before we got rid of the spot where home plate used to be. You could see the outline of first base and second base. You could see the end zone where they spiked the ball, and you could see the marks in the trees that they climb, and the tree forts and the muddy footprints all over, and they got the critter collections everywhere. We're still finding jars that they had the bugs and frogs and everything else in there, I like to be outside. I like to play and work and exercise outside. I like to go bike riding, and it's my favorite place to go talk to the Lord is out somewhere on a bicycle. Somebody that you need an exercise bike. I hate it. The only way I'd like it is if I could put it outside. When the bad weather in the wintertime, I go snowshoeing or do something outside. I have no use. Somebody said, we got to have these video games. They're like fishing video games. I have no use for them at all. I'm not for catch and release. I'm for catch and eat. And I'm not for playing a game. I want to be outside. The other night I got in, I did a lot of work outside and came in, and we sat down to watch, as all good Christians do, the Cubs. Right? Are there any Cubs fans? Some folks, we need to have an invitation here. Are there any Cubs fans in here? They're about in the, right, Jeff? Huh? Hey, Chet, there we go. My friend Chet, the Cubs fan. We're going to watch a Cubs game. I'm too tired. I'm falling asleep here. I'm going to go to bed. My wife was, there was like three innings left in the game, and I went and I remember turning the radio on. Just before I laid down in bed, I thought I should turn the volume down a little bit. I don't think I ever did that. When I hit the pillow, I was out. My wife said I had to turn the TV up in the other room because you were snoring so loud. There's just something about when you work outside all day, I guarantee you don't have any trouble sleeping at night. That's just a given. But we live in a day today where folks are not in touch with God and not in touch with God's creation. That's what I want to talk about this evening. As we look at Proverbs 3, we see the Bible is how we hear from the Lord, and prayer is how we trust, is trusting in the Lord, and worship is honoring the Lord, and happiness, the internal joy from above. And then verse number 19 through 26 is where we get our security. You're going to see this in a little bit. But we live in a day today where folks think they don't need God because they're so out of touch with the realities of God's creation. I just heard again on the radio today, and I've read a number of articles about this, and somebody was asking me about it a couple of weeks ago, because man has figured out a way to raise meat with no animals involved. I was just on the radio again today. They were talking about it. They take a piece of meat and put it in the right laboratory, and eventually they're going to have beef with no cows ever slaughtered. We don't kill the little cows, right? And they're doing the same thing with fish. I ain't eating that stuff. And a lot of things they call virtual reality. Virtual reality has nothing to do with reality. This is some oxymoron. Or reality TV. That's one of the funniest terms I've ever heard in my life. I think maybe a lot of folks practice virtual spirituality. There's a lot of churches do that. Artificial is still artificial. Verse number 19 through 20, we'll look at it tonight. God is known, verse number 19 down through verse number 26, actually is where I want to look at this evening. God is known in His creation. We know God from the Bible, we know God through prayer, we know God through worship, and when we get to know Him, we have that internal joy, that happiness, and we have our security. Security is found in knowing the God of the Bible and seeing how it relates to real life. The Bible tells us how God created, and I believe God created. Things didn't just evolve. God didn't put a start to things and let evolution take over. Verse number 19 and 20, our security talks about how God is known by our creation. Man's got a lot of futile attempts to gain knowledge and wisdom and understanding. We've been defining those as we go. Knowledge is the regurgitation of facts. Wisdom is seeing things through God's perspective, and understanding is knowing the mind and the character of God. And I want you to see this in verse number 19 and 20. God brings this out, and I just happen to see this every time because I love studying science and history along with the Bible. True science always complements and confirms the Word of God. True science. Don't let somebody say, well, science disproves there is a God. No, not true science. And by the way, true science does not change. That's how you know it's true. It doesn't change. When folks are changing their ideas, well, we think the world evolved this way. No, we think it evolved that. That's not true science. Science is what we know. True science complements and confirms the Word of God. Now, I want you to see something here. There's an idea in science called catastrophism. What? That's fun to say. It's even more fun to spell. Catastrophism. What is that? Well, when the devil first came up with this idea of evolution, just like 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 3 says, that man had this idea that things continue as they are. Everything, given enough time, given enough random chance, things are going to evolve. But then the evolutionists, when they touted that for a while, realized, hey, there's had to be some kind of leaps in the evolutionary process. So we had to come up with, they used to teach evolution as non-catastrophism. No catastrophe. But then they had to come up with some catastrophes to make things speed up the process of evolution. So they invented these things called ice ages that were great catastrophes. They say we're headed to another one. And I always joke about this. It's one of those things I wish I would have taken pictures when I was there. We're Yosemite National Park a number of years ago. And in their visitor center, they had one display of all the terrible things that are going to happen if we have another ice age. And a list of all the animals that are going to go extinct if we don't stop recycling everything and start doing all this stuff. But we're going to destroy the world as we know it because we're going to another ice age if you keep driving your cars and all this stuff. And then on the exact opposite wall of the same room, it talked about all the, it had a chart graphing all the different supposed ice ages and all the positive things that came out of each of those ice ages. And I thought, which one is it? Is a catastrophe good or bad for the world? But they came up with these catastrophes that supposedly, well, God talks about three catastrophes that changed everything in our world. One of them, of course, was creation. Two catastrophic events in history. In verse number 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. That's talking about creation. How God, by his word, by his wisdom, and if you study God's creation, it's amazing the wisdom, the knowledge that God demonstrates in his creation. But there's something we really know very little about the original creation other than the 6 days that are listed for us in Genesis 1 and 2. Because everything was so changed, we can't even imagine what it was like before the second catastrophe, and that was in Genesis 6 through 9. What was that? The flood in verse number 20. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up. What happened when the flood came? The earth opened up. Water came out of that world, the earth. And by the way, when we were in school, we were taught that inside the middle of the earth is what? Molten lava, rocks, and all this stuff. Science is basically, with sonar and things, they've discovered there's enough water under the surface of the earth to cover the surface of the earth with multiple miles of water. It's still there. God wanted another flood. And by the way, God's not going to let another flood come. But they knew it was liquid because of the magnetic field, and they just thought it was molten lava, but it's actually water. When a volcano erupts, most of what comes out is steam and water. It's kind of a given fact now that it's a whole lot of water down there, much deeper than our wells go. But the flood in verse number 20, the depths were broken up, the clouds dropped down, the dew. And we study that today, and we can know that by observing creation today and see the weather patterns. Don't you wish you could change those weather patterns? And by the way, they're beyond our control. There's some things that God gave us control over and some things he didn't give us control over. The climate, God controls himself. Man has no say for the good or bad in that. Don't let supposed science tell you different. It's a good way to spend a lot of money to bankrupt America today. But we won't get into that. Those are two catastrophic events in history. There's one more to come. You talk about global warming. That's the one we ought to be concerned about in 2 Peter chapter number 3. The catastrophic events in the future, and that is the recreation. In 2 Peter chapter number 3, it tells us how the earth is going to be melted with a fervent heat. And Revelation 19 and 22 tells us with a new heaven and a new earth. But these are things we know God through his creation. We know God not only through the Bible, of course, that tells us the personality and tells us the details about God. But no one in their right mind can look at this creation and see the magnificence and the delicate nature of the world around us. And those of us who spend a lot of time outdoors hear some of these things. For example, when we take the kids down to Missouri, I think that they're open now, but I don't know if they ever did figure it out. But there's a lot of caves where we're going to go. And for a number of years, you weren't allowed to go into caves because they figure it's coming from people when they go into caves. These bats are getting a disease, a fungus that literally suffocates them when they're hibernating in the cave. And you think, well, I don't care if the bats go extinct. That would ruin the entire earth if the bats went extinct. You think about what all those bats do. I like bats. I even got a bat house out there trying to attack them. Anything that eats bugs is my friend. Don't you get rabies from bats? Only if you believe the silly stories that people tell you all the time. There's things that God's just got things under control. And you can look at God and you see the creative power, the magnificence, the wisdom of God and all of his creation. And that brings security to us. And letter B in verse number 21 and 22. God is known not only by His creation, but He's known in His works. In verse number 21, we see Him in His creation. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Observe God's creating power. Sound, and we'll look at a couple of phrases that are mentioned here. Sound wisdom means substantial or solid, concrete wisdom. I mentioned some things, the illustration Sunday morning of science that is in inventions that have been made simply by people observing creatures in God's creation. And it's amazing what we can learn by studying God's wisdom, God's creating power. Sound wisdom, secure wisdom, discretion is verse number 21. Let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. They will keep you, teach you what true wisdom is. They'll keep you to learn to be what discretion is. God's, which that word literally means God's will or God's plan for your life. In other words, this: learn how God balances things out. See how He cares for all things. How one thing is dependent upon another. Discretion means God's plan or God's will or direction in life. Some of you are looking at each other. See how He cares for... You know, when Jesus spoke parables, most of the parables that Jesus spoke of had to do with things that you would see if you went outside. He talked about the seeds and the sower. The sun, forecasting the weather, and sheep, and different animals, and even the book of Proverbs. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. That's a life verse of some of them. No. All right. Are you looking at who, me? And God uses things in His creation to teach us great things, to teach us sound wisdom, which was solid, concrete, substantial, solid, concrete wisdom is sound wisdom. Discretion is seeing God's plan and God's will for our life. Seeing how God works all the details out in our life, just like He does in the world around us. God is known in His works. God's known in His creation. He's known also in His works. When we know God in His work, we find that there's safety in walking with Him. In verse number 23, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. We walk safely in His presence. We know Him by His works in our life. We learn to walk safe. There's safety in His counsel, in walking with Him. The praying man's psalm, I think one of the great psalms in prayer, and we've memorized this years ago. Psalm, anybody know what the praying man's psalm is? It starts with a 9 and ends with a 1. 931? No. Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a praying man's psalm. I think of that psalm when I look at this verse. Then thou shalt walk in thy way safely, thy foot shall not stumble. Psalm 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with thy feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. God will give us safety when we walk through this life as we know and learn His works, not only in the Bible and His protection in the Bible, but look around the world around you and see His creation, His majesty, His power, in the world, in the natural world around us. He's known by His creation. He's known by His works. In verse number 24, God offered when we have a relationship with Him, when we know Him, when we walk safely in His presence, there's a sweetness in sleep. There's a sweetness in our sleep. In verse number 24, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. It's nice to go to bed at night knowing that God's in control. Isn't it? And that statement there. When you go to bed knowing God's in control, will keep you from losing sleep. Every once in a while I hear somebody say, well, I've lost a lot of sleep over this. Very few things make me lose a lot of sleep. I know God's in control. Our sleep will be sleep. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. That's only for those who walk close to God. You know, I'm convinced of this. Somebody pointed this out to me years ago, and I see people that, especially the last generation, today it's not so much of a thing. One of Satan's greatest invention years ago was the 10 o'clock evening news. Last thing, and I know folks that sit there and watch that until they doze off. Boy, that'd give me things to worry about all night. Watching what's wrong with the world. Look at all the things that are going on. This could happen. This could happen. And now, especially with all the drama that they put into the news and everything. But that's one of the devil's... You know, there's something good about spending the last waking hours of the Lord, if not listening to a Cubs game, at least meditating on Scripture. Huh? And thinking on something, going through memory verses in your mind. Talking to the Lord in prayer. That's why God's people for generations saw the importance of, before you pillow your head at night, spend some time with God in prayer. Spend some time reading the Word of God. There's sweetness of sleep when you go to bed knowing that God's got it all under control. Here we've had a lot of burdens today. We're carrying a heavy load today, but God, You've got it all worked out. Good night. We'll see you in the morning. Huh? Instead of fretting and worrying and stewing and pacing the floor all night long, you can just find rest in the Lord. Psalm 127, verse number 2, our missionary letter we read tonight, quoted verse number 1. Verse number 2 says, it's vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. We can fret and stew and worry, stay up all night, not be able to get up in the morning. I like to get up early in the morning just to talk to the Lord, just to fellowship with Him and say, Lord, I'm looking forward to see what You do today. usually doing some stretching to try to get this whole body working. That's getting harder as the days go on, isn't it? But just to rest in the Lord, there's sweetness and comfort in resting in the Lord. Security is found in knowing His creation. Security is found in knowing Him in His works. The works of His creation, the works of the source of our strength, the strength of, in walking with Him and sweetness of sleeping and resting in Him. And then I like this in verse number 25 and 26. Real security is found in Him in turmoil. Even in turmoil, be not afraid of sudden fear. There's some key phrases in this I want to look at. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. There's great security in turmoil when we know the Lord. Notice that phrase, sudden fear. What does that mean? And I like to study words in the Bible and piece them together and define them. Sudden fear, of course, is sudden or unexpected alarm. It means dread or terror. You ever hear the word terror today in the news? The threat of terrorism. The constant threat of terror. That's the number one thing. Oh, the terror. What are the terrorists going to do? And anytime something is, this the work of terrorism? There's that threat of sudden fear, unexpected alarm. And we never know what the devil's going to throw at us. We never know what the world, what God haters are going to throw at us today. And there's that constant threat of terror today. That's what God's saying here, of sudden fear. Be not afraid of sudden fear. We don't have to worry about it. Hey, God's got it under control. Amen? Well, what if something happens and my life is taken? Praise the Lord, I get to be in heaven tomorrow. Huh? I don't have anything to worry about. Well, what if this happened? We're so worried about things that might happen and could happen. Well, it looks like it. Well, trust in God. There's security in turmoil. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked. That word of actually can be translated two ways in the Bible. The desolation of the wicked could literally be, of course, we think of desolation of the wicked when the wicked man happened, well, we might be next, but that's our first impression. But if you look at that word of and study it out, I'll just say it this way, desolation of the wicked could literally mean desolation from the wicked. When the wicked are out to destroy us, we have nothing to fear. Hey, there's no new thing under the sun. The devil is always out to destroy God's people. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we can fret and stew and twiddle our thumbs and hide in the corner or hide in a cave somewhere, or we can get out and do something for God. There's security even in turmoil. Sometimes I think of, I actually spent quite a bit of time yesterday talking to a dear Christian brother. It's all upset of the persecution that he's facing today. How do you face that? How do you get over this? We don't know what persecution is. Somebody saying things online is persecution today. Somebody bullying us is persecution. How about somebody whipping you to death? How about someone burning you at the stake? We have no idea what persecution is today. I fear that we're going to see it in America before we wake up in Christianity today. But what we call persecution today is nothing. We're so worried about things today, and they upset us so much. I said, so what? Somebody said something to you about you. They sent you a nasty email. So somebody gave you a nasty phone call. You know what? I seldom answer the phone anymore. Huh? You get these silly calls. Hey, my favorite one. We hear from the United States government. We're going to send you money. Yeah, right. You think they'd at least get somebody who speaks English that works for the United States government. But we get so many crazy calls today and so many crazy threats and people sending us this and that. And hey, that's nothing. We got a God that's got all the, there's security. And much of the things that we think are turmoil and persecution are just stewed up in our mind. When the enemy attacks us, and trust me, we haven't seen much of the attack of the enemy in our personal lives today compared to what people have seen throughout history. And then notice what he said, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the destruction of the wicked if it comes. Is that what it says? When it comes. And be assured of this, it will come. It will come. The devil's out to destroy you. And he'll use anything within his means to destroy you. And we can have security. We can know that we're walking in his presence no matter what happens around us. We don't have to be destroyed with the sudden fear or the destruction from the wicked. When it comes, we have verse number 26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. The Lord is our confidence. Was it last week? A song that Doris Day. How many people under 40 years old know who Doris Day is? You watch the old movies, right? I was joking. And as soon as I heard last week I heard Doris Day died, And all day long, though the Lord gives me a song, every once in a while the devil gives me a song. And the devil all day long was giving me that song. Que sera, sera. No, I just gave it to you, huh? I passed something on from the devil to you. My mom used to sing that song all the time. She loved Doris Day singing that song. Que sera. Whatever will be. The future's not hard to see. Que sera. And it's not even a real word that she's quoting. It's kind of a mispronunciation of something Spanish or Latin or something. But we think, well, it's just chance. It's just what. No. There's a God in heaven that's in control. And we're not just happening by chance. We're just not happening along and then all of a sudden this happened. No, our confidence is in God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that know God. There's nothing that happens by coincidence, nothing that happens by chance. God is in control. And there's security. Well, what if all this terrible stuff happens? Well, praise the Lord. God's still on the throne. Huh? We don't have a thing to worry about. There's security in turmoil. There's security in knowing His creation and knowing that He created this world. He spoke this universe into existence. He's got everything under control. There's nothing that I can do to change the moving of the planets or the stars. Or, well, what about this meteorite? Every once in a while they say, there's this meteorite that's going to come and crash the earth. That's going to create a new ice age. Well, whatever. God's in control. Well, I know what we can do. There's a movie about it. You know, folks think that it really happened. We sent some rockets up there and they drilled a hole in it and blew that thing to smithereens, so we saved the planet. No. Stuff like that doesn't happen. That's fair. God is in control. And we know His creation. We know His work. We see Him work around us. We see what He's done in our creation. And you study the Word of God, and you see very clearly whose hand it is that created all things. Whose hand's in control of all things. And when you study history and think, well, I wonder who did that. You study science, and well, I wonder who created that. I know the same one who wrote this book. And He's got it all under control. And we can trust Him. We can find security in the Bible and prayer and learning to worship Him and learning what true joy is all about. Not our outward circumstances, but our inward relationship with Him brings us true happiness and joy and gives us true security that gets us through the difficult days in our life. Father,